we present Bert's Place. Hi, it's you. I wondered when I'd be seeing you again. Come for another thrilling instalment? Well, make yourself comfortable. That's right. Now, where did we get to last time? Oh, yes, that green star. Sorry? What? Oh, yes, I've mentioned green stars before. I'll explain more about them. They might sound pretty, but believe me, they're not a thing you ever want to see. Well, not unless it's on your 13th birthday, and sometimes even then. Yes, you're quite right. I really must try not to get sidetracked. Green stars always mean that there is what we call top brass around, meaning someone important. Of course, it might mean good news, very occasionally maybe, but it more often means you've done something wrong and you're in deep, deep trouble. On that Thursday night before my official leave was due to begin, Elle had given me a tight hug, that was all, and I had hugged her back. It was sheer bad luck that someone from the monitoring department at Shona Sharon must have been watching. They randomly monitor all their employees just to check they're behaving themselves. They obviously thought I'd gone a step too far, and next moment there was that green star. As soon as Elle left the room, they sent another. Even more ominously, this one had silver edges. That meant that I was in even deeper, and the matter would be taken further. I have to say, that was a very long week for me, but for Brian and Elle, it must have been even longer, as they waited to see whether or not I would come back on the following Friday morning. Official leave begins and ends at dawn, so Elle was up very early that day. Too early, in Brian's opinion.
Bee. Bee.
Ooh.
Bee, wake up.
Oh, goodness, Elle. What time is it?
I think it's about 6:30.
Oh, it's my day off. Can't you let me sleep?
Never mind that. I know it's your day off. It's also Friday. Friday, Bee.
Gosh, did you go and check?
Yes. I just went in to see. He's not back.
That idea about song titles with beginnings or starting in them is a really good one. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to use that. And I'm going to need your help with the artist profile for Dean Friedman.
Okay.
And the documentary about Elle. Are you listening to me?
Sorry, babe. I'm having real trouble concentrating this morning. I just can't stop thinking about poor Bert. If they don't let him come back, do you think they'll even let us know?
How would I know? I had no idea that I was even getting him when we first got together. I really needed some help, and one day I woke up, went down to get some breakfast, and he was just there in the kitchen, backpack and all. He's been helping me ever since. I'm really going to need your help with the documentaries now, especially if they never let him come back.
Oh, sorry. Oh, look at the mess I've made. I'll wipe that up.
It's okay, I'll do it. Look, try to stay calm. You won't help anyone by going to pieces. I'll get you another bowl of cereal.
Don't, babe. I can't eat it. Look, I'll go and get ready for the show later and try and think about something else. It's no good, though. All I can think about is Bert.
I know.
Oh, gosh. I hope that whatever they've done with him, he's okay.
Elle, for crying out loud, that's the fourth thing that you've broken today. You can't go on like this. You know how you are about your china. You're going to be sorry later.
Oh, I know. It's just that I'm so jumpy. Everything's just slipping through my hands. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I've nearly finished making your sandwich.
Are you having one?
Oh, crumbs, no. I absolutely couldn't face it.
Oh, well, you've got to eat. You'll make yourself ill.
I can't. What I do need, though, is a glass of wine. Here. Yeah, I do think I could have that.
Wine? It's not even 12 o'clock. It's a bit early for wine, isn't it?
Brian, I've told you before to stop being such a killjoy. It's never too early for wine.
Oh.
I think I'll have a glass too, if you don't mind. I could do with it. It's been an interesting week.
Bert! Oh, Bert! They let you come back!
Hi, Elle. Sorry I'm late. Yeah, it was touch and go at one stage, but here I am. Oh, Elle, it's good to see you. And you too, Brian.
It's great to have you back again. We really did miss you, you know.
We did! You must be absolutely dead on your nose. Sit down here and tell us what happened.
Elle, I know I need to explain a lot of things, but it's a long story, and I'm tired. Tired in a lot of ways. I will tell you, though, but not now, if you don't mind. What I really need now is a shower, a change of clothes, a long sit on your lap, and most of all, that glass of wine.
You can have all of those things, the rest can wait. But Elle, what about your show? Aren't you on air in a couple of hours?
Oh, I'll be okay to do that alone. Bert needs to rest.
Bert does not. I tell you what, pour me that drink. Let me have a quick shower and then we'll start to get ready. Gosh, I'm not going to miss helping you out in the lair for anything.
Okay, here you go, sweetie.
Thanks. Oh, here's to being home. Once I'd had my drink, a much-needed shower and a change of clothes, I helped Elle with her radio show, and it was a great one. Then I fell into bed and slept for about 16 hours. That was the last good sleep I was to have in quite some days. I kept having awful nightmares about the week I'd just lived through. Yes, I know, you're wanting to hear what happened while I'd been away, and I will tell you, but I can't go into detail about some of it because it's really quite difficult for me to talk about. The trial? Oh, the trial was bad enough, but that wasn't the half of it, not the half. As you must have guessed, I had very good reasons for not wanting to return to the place where I grew up. Brian and Elle thought I was scared or just too used to human company and surroundings, but the reasons were very different and had their roots in events which had taken place long ago. It all started over 25 years ago now, when I was a very young lep before I went to Shona Sharon. I think I told you there were 30 of us in our family. That included three sets of twins. When the third set was born, my poor mum was ill for a long time afterwards. Dad had to go out to work, and after that, he needed to be out foraging for food, so us older leplings had to look after the little ones. Most of my brothers and sisters weren't interested in helping out, so a lot of the work got left to me and my friend, Cianella. Nell was about 5 years my senior, and a book swot, the same as I was. In fact, she liked books even more than I did, which was saying something. As soon as all the work was done, there she'd be, her nose in a book. That's what started all the trouble. One day I was busy looking after my little brothers, and I heard my favourite sister, Amarella, or Mella, as we always called her, kicking up a fuss behind me. She wanted Nell's book to play with. Well, that wasn't going to happen, and I just went on with what I was doing. I turned around in time to hear the book tear, and see poor Mella freeze in mid-movement. Cianella had put a freezing spell on my precious little sister. Now, this is one of our absolutely top rules. You never, ever, ever use the helping hand against another leg. The only ones who are allowed to do it are the crack soldier guards, and even then, it's only in very special circumstances. Well, I got my little sister into her cot, and then went back to challenge Cianella, but she just laughed and said that was nothing compared to what she could do if she wanted to. Well, for the rest of the day, I wondered what to do about it, but there was no question, really. When everyone was asleep, I went to see the handers, the guardians of the helping hand in our colony, and I told them what had happened. Shortly afterwards, Nell and her family moved to the other end of the colony. Her 13th birthday came and went, but no green stars appeared. She was so clever, everyone thought she'd become a hander, or else a guard, a watcher, coder, or even a healer. But she became none of these. She undertook the most menial of jobs and married some drone from sanitation. I only saw her once after she put the spell on my sister. It was on my 13th birthday. I was waiting outside while Madame Linara, the head of my house at Shona Sharon, had a final word with my parents. Suddenly, Cianella appeared from the bushes.
Think you're something now, don't you, Bertie? 5 years ago, that would have been me, going away to the old country to study with Mum in tears and Dad looking so proud. Only you seem to think that would never happen. They give me a black star. Did you know that? A black star so that I can't never work with humans. Nor be an Ander, nor a coder, nor a god, nor nothing useful. You've seen to that, Bertie.
You saw to it. You put a freezing spell on my sister.
Oh, yeah. Your precious little sister. You want to watch out for your sister, Bertie, because she's here and I'm here. And you ain't here no more.
Don't you hurt my sister. Don't hurt any of my family.
You've got one chance to keep her safe. And yourself too, for that matter. Don't you never come back here, young Bertie. If you do, I'll get you for what you've done to me. I won't never forgive it, and I won't never forget neither. If I live to be 300, I won't. So you better just never come back here, and don't you never breathe a word either, if you want that little brat to stay safe.
I had stayed away. I had turned down every chance of seeing my family up to now, and they had been safe. But El was right. I couldn't keep running away all my life. 20 years was a long time. So that April Friday morning found me back in the colony, and a nice warm welcome I got. As soon as I got a foot through the door, I was arrested and taken to one of the guards' holding cubes. There I stayed for all that day and all that night, until Mella, my dearest, most treasured sister, came and got me out. Then I went home to Mum and Dad's cube and tried to remember what it was to be a lep again. I can't say I liked it much. The overcrowding, the lack of sanitation, the food. Neither my heart, mind, nor stomach wanted to be there, and what with one thing and another, I was feeling more and more woebegone. Then fear got added to the mix. We had all been out of the cube doing various errands. By this time, a bevy of relations had arrived, and the cube was packed to bursting. I had gone to my nice new backpack to get something my brother Niall wanted to see, when I suddenly noticed things there weren't as I'd left them. On making a thorough search, we were horrified to discover that my very best clothes, my ceremonial robes from Shona Sharon, had been carefully wrapped around a large lump of soft filth. Every item was smeared and ruined, and on the back of the once magnificent velvet cloak was the inky imprint of a small, delicate hand. Well, life has to go on. Patty Ann's naming ceremony went ahead. It didn't go off without incident, as my journals of the time tell. But we got through it, and after that, a lot of the family went back to their homes, but I had to stay. I'd still heard nothing of any trial. That didn't happen until Thursday evening. I was put up before the holder of the hand, a grand and noble lady with whom I'd already had dealings, and my old arch-nemesis Professor Delian, the head of Shona Sharon. I was accused of code violation, of inappropriate behaviour toward and feelings for a human. I really can't go into details about my trial. This story is long enough and it's going to get longer. I'm here, so you must know I got acquitted, mostly thanks to the holder of the hand. I wrote a full account of all that happened in my journal, and it's still up on my website for you to read, if you want to. I remember celebrating with my family on Thursday night. It seems odd to think of that now. We thought the worst was over. Wrong. The worst happened when I was walking out of the colony with my backpack over my shoulders on Friday morning. I was full of the joys. Everything had turned out all right. And after a horrible week, I was finally going home. Mella had come to see me off, but it was a bitterly cold day, and she was expecting a youngling, so I told her not to wait, but to run back into the warm. Big, big mistake. I was almost at the bushes when I saw her. Sionella.
Think you're going home, young Bertie? And no more harm done than a bit of muck on them fancy clothes? You think you know such a lot? You know everything about everything you do. I bet you don't know what it's like to live in a cube with no curtain what always smells of muck. To never see nothing but this stinking place and no one but screaming brats and a man what never says nothing to you except shut them blurtlings up. Where's me dinner? And come here, femme. Just look at you. No end of a dandy now. All that human fancy gear. I was sorry I hadn't brought more muck with me than I did that day. But I got them Shona Sharon duds of yours. You won't never wear them again. It don't matter. Where you're going, you won't need fancy clothes no more. I told you not to come back here, Bertie. If you thought 20 years would make any difference to my feelings, you was wrong. I've waited a long time. But they do say good things comes to them what waits, don't they?
You can't kill me. Nobody has been murdered in this colony for I don't know how many years. You'll never get away with it. Anyway, if you're under a black star, you'll be monitored. They would see you perform a dark spell.
I ain't stupid, Bertie. Who said anything about killing you? I ain't gonna kill you. That'd be far too easy for you. I'm just gonna freeze you. And hide you somewhere nice and snug where no one will ever find you. I'm afraid you're gonna find the next 1,000 years or so terrible boring. Only the bees, birds, and the bugs for company. But then, I did tell you never to come back. You should have listened.
I had no time to do anything, even if I could have. The next moment, I'd been frozen and was lying flat on my face. Cianella was dragging me into the bushes and telling me she'd leave me there for now, then come back and take me somewhere else, where no one would ever find me. I remember the wave of absolute despair that washed over me, and then I heard shouting. This is the bit I find hard to relive. The freezing spell fell off me, and I got up. I saw a posse of crack soldier guards, and Mella. She must have been peeking to see if I'd got off safely and seen something wrong. Cianella tried to run, but it was no use. She was surrounded. Then there was this huge, fiery snake shot out of her hand and hit Mella right in the stomach. Just give me a minute. What? Oh no, they caught her all right. She's in the lockholes now. They took away her helping hand. All smeared with dark magic it was. She'll never hurt anyone else. Mella? Yes, she made it. Just. Our old physician, old Jockey, for a wonder he was cold sober that morning, and he zapped her straight into the healing gardens. She had to stay there for months, but she recovered. At least, she'll always be delicate, but she's still with us, bless her. No, that's the awful thing. She lost the youngling and there'll never be any more. I can't help thinking sometimes. If I dug in my heels and stayed away... I really can't think about this anymore. Oh, don't worry. It's all right. Look, let's have a tot of Zaire. There. Cheers. Dad gave me this when I went home last week. Yes, that was one good thing to come out of all that trouble. I can go home whenever I like now. You know, Zaire reminds me so much of the first party we had here. Oh, it was for my birthday at the beginning of May. Yes, I'd been in an awful mood all week because Brian and Elle had been keeping me away from the kitchen, shutting me up in my closet, refusing to answer any of my questions, and generally behaving very oddly. I thought I was about to get fired. Then, on the actual day, Elle and I were on air doing her radio show. About 15 minutes from the end, something suddenly happened, which definitely wasn't in the script.
All right, it's time to take a break, and I'll be back in a minute with a... What?
Oh, Noel, who's that at the door? They know that you're on air.
Well, I don't know, sweetie. You'd better go and see, hadn't you?
Okay, I won't be a moment.
Quiet, he's coming. Here he comes.
Oh, gosh, I don't believe this.
Oh, look at his face.
What on earth?
Quiet, quiet. All right, Bert. Come on then, Millie. Come on, Millie.
The helping hand has brought us here to celebrate another year of life and laughter, work and play, and to celebrate your birthday.
Cool. Did he look
so good luck for the year to come. Here's a blessing on your work and home. May your hands stay strong and your heart stay true, and remember that we love you. Happy birthday, Uncle Bert.
Oh, wow! Mum, Dad, Toby, everybody, what's happening?
It's your birthday surprise, sweetie. Hi, everyone. Come on in. Try not to make too much noise because we're still on air. Bert, if you'd like to show them the way and then come and sit on the sofa until everybody's got settled.
You did brilliantly, Millie.
Aww.
How's your mummy getting on?
She's getting better, thank you.
Hey, you lot, if you're looking for food, there isn't any. And she makes lousy tea. You won't like it.
Well, you're wrong about the food, because there's plenty. I've been liaising with your mum via email about what kind of thing everyone will like, and we've got absolutely loads of everything. And we won't need my lousy tea, because I've got gallons and gallons of the nearest equivalent I could get hold of to dare. Now, everyone try and keep quiet until I finish doing the show, and then we can really get this party started. How does that sound?
It sounds absolutely wicked!